Good morning. This is Stuart Bunnell from the Shone FM Newsroom, and this is the latest interview in our 2025 territorial election series, where we'll be speaking with party leaders and Indigenous candidates from each of the three parties. Today, we're sitting down with Yukon Premier and Yukon Liberal Party leader Mike Pemberton. He came into both of those roles following a successful Liberal Party leadership race earlier this year. Good morning, Premier, and thank you for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Stuart, and thank you for doing this not only with myself, but with the other leaders and our Indigenous candidates.
My pleasure, and of course, pleasure to have you. Now, we are officially less than a month away from the 2025 territorial election. It's coming up on November 3rd. So why should Yukoners consider casting a vote for the Yukon Liberals on that day?
I think our track record has been proven. The Liberals have done an incredible job over the last 8-9 years. With fresh eyes, new ideas, we want to keep moving forward and complete the work that has been started by our previous government.
Absolutely, and I'd like to expand on that a little bit if I can, because you said something very, very similar in Carcross for your announcement that you were dropping the writ, calling the election. Can you expand a little bit on the fresh eyes and fresh ideas under a Liberal ideology as part of the reason for your confidence as we head into the election?
Absolutely, I can. I think first of all, we need to thank everyone that puts their name forward, and because this is a tough job. Politics is very polarized in the world we're living in today. But more so, I would like to thank the team that from the Liberal Party that is exiting, and for the work that they've done. There was work left on the table. A lot of it had to do with collaboration with First Nations throughout the Yukon, and that's a key piece for us, is that we move forward with that collaboration, and we get new mining legislation completed, that land use planning in other areas throughout the Yukon. We want to work on that. We definitely want to follow through with our commitment on the Peel. So there's many, many things that were left undone. I think probably because, that pandemic threw a wrench into things and slowed things down a little bit. But even after the pandemic, a lot of work was continued to be done. We have such a great base to start from and to continue forward with that work.
Fantastic. And we will touch on reconciliation a little later on in our chat. But for now, I want to take a look at your first priority in the election. You made it very, very clear last Thursday that priority number one for you is housing, ensuring every Yukoner has a place to call home. So what does that look like for people who are heading into voting booths? What can they expect in terms of housing?
Well, I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag today, Stuart, because we're announcing some things from our platform. You'll see that we did a post yesterday saying that we will be announcing some of our ideas on housing this week. Not quite sure what day this week, but they will be announced. But I think we need to start looking a little outside of the box when it comes to housing. We definitely will need our federal partners to support us with this, with our ideas. If there's a will, there's a way. And I think it's very important that the affordability of housing come down. And I think it's very important especially first time homeowners have the opportunity to get into a home and start building equity for their future.
Fantastic. Now, obviously, something as complicated as sorting out housing and the affordability of housing for some 48,000 Yukoners is going to take time. I know I asked you this in Carcross, but how long is an undertaking like this going to take?
We will need to get to work right away. How long it will take, that will depend on the amount of effort that we put into it. It's very crucial. Stuart, at the doors, what we're hearing You know, this is a big part of the affordability conversations that we're hearing at the doors. You know, not only affordability in housing, whether that be, you know, buying a home or renting a home. It also, like, you know, we're in a situation where, you know, people are struggling out there, and we understand that they're struggling, you know, with the cost of groceries, with the cost of electricity, and all these things tie together. And there is security for individuals when they have their own home. There's security that, you know, that behind their doors, there's a comfort level, and that we need to focus in on that and make sure that those people are well taken care of.
Absolutely. And you touched on a couple things that I think are important to remember during an election season. You touched on cost of groceries, cost of electricity. How much of that is in your power, for lack of a better word, as premier?
Well, I think when it comes to electricity, I think there's the ability for any government to work with the power corporation and do what we can to invest into the corporation. So not everything that they're doing is taken to rate and then come back and have bill impact on individuals. So the government has a big role here to play with that. We also need to look at what we can do transportation wise on the grocery side of things. So it's not only the price of food that's going up in the South. On top of that, we have to deal with the cost of transporting those goods from the South to the North. We also need to look at what we can do locally and what impact, you know, what can we do to help local growers in the Yukon achieve the numbers that are there. You know, we have great potential. It's been proven that we have great potential to provide some food, you know, grown and raised here in the Yukon. Not everything that we're going to need, of course, but there is potential there to tap into that industry and work with them to achieve some results that will help as well.
Brilliant. It's interesting, as I keep covering the election, how many things tie into that affordability as one of the priorities.
Absolutely.
that is coming to the top. And of course, you know, housing, affordability, those are just two pillars that you've mentioned. You're also looking at healthcare, as everybody is. You're looking at economic development and reconciliation. That's the one that I would like to focus on with you just for a moment. What does reconciliation look like to the Liberal team right now?
Well, you know, the Liberal team and myself, and I'm here. I don't want to speak for my entire team. There are a bunch of great individuals that have their own thoughts, and they believe in the conversations that I've had with that team. They strongly believe in reconciliation. Reconciliation is understanding, to me, how we got here. You know, how did we get here, and understanding how we got here so we can move forward. And I firmly believe that we need to understand why we're here, you know, what harm we did to the First Nations in the Yukon, and accept that, and then realize that in order to move forward, we need to accept the harm that was done to First Nations, and for them to welcome us into the land and to move forward.
Like you said earlier, you don't want to give the whole game away, but what actions is your government planning on taking should they receive another mandate in terms of moving forward with reconciliation? What actions can we expect to see?
Well, you know, the first thing you're going to see is us go back to the table on new mining legislation. That is a big piece. That's a big piece for us, putting a lot of work and effort into that. I don't think we're at ground zero again. I think a lot of great work has been done by the steering committee that involved First Nations and other individuals. I mean, this is first and foremost for us, is that we need to honor what was agreed to and move forward and make sure that all those agreements are done properly with real consultation and bring a lot of that good work home and make it beneficial for all Yukoners.
Absolutely. And in a release from one of your competitors earlier this week, we saw a little bit on the Yukon Party's ideas for First Nations relations going forward. One of the things I mentioned was, of course, the Yukon Forum. Are you prepared to say today that the Yukon Forum will be making a comeback with the Liberal government?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That forum that was honored, that was honored by Premier Silver, that was one of the first things that Premier Silver did. I believe he started the forums in 2017. He took power, the Liberals took power in November of 2016. That was front and center that those forums take place, and that was done. And we will continue to honor that commitment.
Will we have another forum by the end of the year? I know that November-December is technically when the intergovernmental forum comes around. Is there a plan to get in touch with First Nations leadership for one of those?
Time permitting, and the availability of all the chiefs in the Yukon, absolutely. I would love to have a forum before the end of the year.
Perfect. I hate to bring this up, but you are a bit of a new face to politics. It was you are a business owner beforehand, and you've been premier for the summer. What challenges did you see that you weren't really expecting when you got into the premier's office?
Wow, that's a big question. There's lots of challenges. You know, for that first month or 2 months, you know, you're drinking from a fire hose because, you know, what's good about it is that all the departments, when something like this takes place, all the departments are ready to brief you and to bring you up to speed on every issue. And then you focus in on the critical stuff. I mean, I had the fortunate help of the colleagues that were already in place, but still there were some critical decisions that had to be made, and we worked through those decisions. I also believe that when I went into this role, there wasn't enough time to do a lot of shakeup, and I felt it was better left somewhat alone. I mean, I did step in on some things that I really felt were maybe the wrong move. Overall, I believed in the work that my colleagues had done, and I honored that through the short term.
If the Liberals win, we can expect things to get shaken up a little bit more then?
Absolutely, you can.
And what would a shakeup look like?
Well, I mean, we're going to have like we talked about earlier in the conversation here, Stuart. We're going to have a whole new group of people. This is a whole new team, with fresh ideas, and new vision for the Yukon, and I will rely on their ideas. You know, we will work together as a team. You know, it's very important that, you know, you're able to work together with your team. And this really, you know, you know, everyone, what I've heard out there is like, why is it taking you so long to announce candidates, right? Well, it's important to me that we have the right candidates in place. It's important to me that team works, melds together good, and that everyone feels safe, that they can have those conversations they need to have. So we will very much work together and change not totally away from the liberal ideology. We are liberals, and we're a very welcoming party. We accept all cultures. We accept all people. We believe in helping people, lifting people up, helping them get on the right road, and we will continue to do that.
Fantastic. I'm afraid that we are out of time today. Premier Mike Pemberton, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Stuart. Have a great day.
Thank you. And a big thank you to Carl Carpentier for giving us some airtime to chat. I will be back with the Shone FM News at 8:30. In the meantime, let's get back to Cool Country Morning.